This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It was a dreadful performance from start to finish. We wanted to start the game well, like we did against Tottenham last week, and wanted to take a heart from the performance last week, but weren't good enough individually and collectively. And I'll take full responsibility for the performance as the head coach, but nowhere near enough fight in the first half at all. It started, they put a long ball up top, and we don't win the first, we don't win the second, and they won most of the duels today and ended up with a poor performance. I mean, we spoke about cutting out individual mistakes. Our players, we looked to try and build up, but once they got the goal and once we gave them the start that they wanted, they were on the front foot and putting us under pressure, and never showed enough quality, never showed enough movement or desire to get on the ball and move it quick enough, and we got punished for it.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, he lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com, and your host for pretty much the Tyson Fury of Villa podcasts. Joining me for a quick, this is more of a catch-up. If you want to catch up on the regular show, check out number 99. That's the full show experience. This is more because we've done a full show and a Patreon extra discussing a few things that popped up. We don't want to be repeating ourselves, so we will focus solely on the Southampton game. And joining me for that, Mr. Chris Budd. How are you?
Hello. I am better than I was yesterday.
Oh, why? What happened in the last 24 hours to relieve you from...
Other than the shambles on the south coast.
But I'm surprised you're here, actually, because the last time we spoke, you said you went to some VAR escape room.
It was virtual reality. Thank God it wasn't VAR. There were no shit decisions involved. Nothing overturned. It was interesting. I'll give him that much.
So what is a VR escape room? I mean, do you walk around with a headset?
You have a full headset and headphones on, but you don't actually move. That's what was weird. There was four of us and they partitioned the room behind curtains, and then you're basically in your own little world.
Can you see each other through your headsets?
Yeah, you're like an avatar, and you have to move around. So we had to defuse a nuclear bomb, which, of course, we saved the day and saved the world. Unlike Villa's season.
Didn't know you were qualified to do that.
There's more to me than meets the eye, David. I am a scientist, after all.
So you say you look like avatars. What did you actually look like? Are you human form or like your spirit animal?
Yeah.
Spirit animal?
Yeah, I was my spirit animal. I was a dolphin.
Right. So this all happened in Birmingham.
This was at Resort World, actually.
All right, wow, they can offer
apparently there's a brilliant one in Nottingham where you can run around shooting guns and stuff, which I'm down with.
Oh, God. Let's just hope it doesn't spill out into the real world. Right, so we won't be doing the normal 3 points and the other discussions and a Villa Week and a Villa Minute because, I mean, dogshite pretty much covers all bases on the Villa performance.
I mean, I could say that for a minute solid if you want.
A minute's silence would be more appropriate,
oh,
I think.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
To sum up that performance. But anyway, I mean, we did a patrons extra show, which we gave some insights onto, you know, a couple of things, which I'll probably write about. I'm not going to give them away. I mean, one of them, for example, was it Villa Park was in danger of missing out on the England game because of the on-pitch celebrations against Leicester in the semi-final, mainly because I think it was Maddison was pushed over. So obviously when fans make contact with players on the pitch, that's rings alarm bells. But luckily, common sense was seen. I mean, obviously, it was a last-minute, injury time winner there, so tensions were high. So England obviously play Romania. It's June, is it not?
Yes, yeah, it's just before the Euro starts.
McGinn is on the grass, as they say.
He's close.
Unlikely. He's not going to be playing in that cup final, put it that way. I think if that cup final was a couple of weeks... Let's say
if that was a week later,
I'd say two to be safe that he would be there for sure.
Mm.
But and the only other real thing coming out of Villa is just a bit of outspokenness, really. I mean, obviously, you know the routine. Anybody with half a brain knows the social media routine. If it's not the players themselves, it's their assistants will put out, you know, some kind of token tweet after
we
a
go
win
again.
After a win or after a loss. After a loss, it's normally a dejected picture and then saying, you know, we go again. Thanks for the support. Gilbert was really the only one who put out anything significant where he apologised for his, quote, shit performance.
Yeah, quite refreshing, really.
I think our man on the player ratings gave him a 4 out of 10 and said it was his worst performance in a Villa shirt. So shit performance it is.
I think there was a few who could lay claim to that, including one Courtney Hawes. And certainly Dean Smith said after the game, didn't he? There's a few players who have very much played their way out of the cup final team.
Yeah, but no, I was going to mention that. We'll talk about that when we get into the game. But yeah, it was surprising that, you know, I think he's also to blame as well because, come on, this has been going on for a while now. And we thought we solved the defensive problem by adding 3 centre-backs into the mix. But anyway, we'll get on to that shortly. Just quickly, I want to give a big shout-out to the My Old Man Said patrons, as usual, who make this happen. Thank you very much for Jonathan Swift, Philip Rowland, Dane Bertelson, and Matthew Slater for signing up over the weekend. Thank you very much. You will have now access, I think, to it's over 70 extra podcast shows that we've put up on Patreon, and there's plenty more to come. So enjoy that. And if you want to support the show and also get access to extra content and heads up, I managed to get the date changes for the Sky Sports. I put them up on Patreon and I got tipped off before they were announced. And I think it's saved one Norwegian who we won't mention. He said it saved him 200 quid on flights because everybody jumps on it on buying flights as soon as the old official announcement is made. So there's always perks for the inside information that we sometimes give out. And once again, congratulations to the 21 villains who have got a pair of tickets for Wembley, obviously coming up this weekend, through our competitions, which Carabao kindly gave us the tickets for. So we've managed to smuggle in 42 people into Wembley.
And some very entertaining poems.
Yeah, and I need to go through those because I wasn't doing the judging or the actual running the competition. So I'll have a look through those and maybe we'll read some out. We'll try to cram in a show before the cup final itself. Right, as I said, please do go to myomansaid.com and click on the Patreon link on the menu bar. Also, if you want to get yourself some last minute threads for the final, go to the shop option on the menu and all the updated discount codes and links will be there. I think if you listen to this early enough, you will have a chance to make the post on anything there and save yourself up to like 50% on some stuff. Right, let's get on to this Saints shower of shite. I'll give you some headline stats. Aston Villa are now winless in 8 matches. matches against Southampton in all competitions, 3 draws, 5 losses. I mean, that shows you how the mighty have fallen, because Southampton, I mean, we always had problems with Southampton, especially away. At home, it was normally a bit of a banker, but now we can't, you know, they're a team that have got our measure in recent terms, and that obviously played out at St. Mary's. I think the last time we beat them was at St. Mary's, December 2013.
Would that have been the Delph one when he scored the wonder goal?
Yeah, 3-2, I think it ended. Yeah. Also, this is why we're going to get relegated unless we sort this out. Villa remain the only Premier League side without an away clean sheet this season. And the defence, we have the worst defence. I think it's still the worst, is it not? I didn't look at the league table.
Aren't we one of the highest scorers in the bottom, but we're also by comfortably the worst conceders.
Yeah, and obviously this stretches over to other shite years we had in the Premier League, but Villa have now just won 2 of their past 32 Premier League away games.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible. We've drawn 5 and lost 25 of the rest. So shout out to the away supporters for putting up with that still. I mean, obviously, we had a break in the Championship where obviously we got some wins and got our mojo back and made travelling enjoyable again. But hopefully we can shake out of this, because, I mean, some teams are set up to play away from home, and I don't know where Villa are set up to play against. I mean, at least at Villa Park, they have the crowd with them, so that gives them a bit of momentum, but there's we'll get on to it in a minute. Right, let's get into this. Where to start? It was lively opener for the Saints. It was Mings versus Southampton for the first 10 minutes or so. Shea Long, what Villa fans now call the obligatory goal against us, but it just looked shonky from the off, didn't it?
It's a horrible goal, isn't it, from start to finish? I mean, it's like, how far do you want to rewind the tape before it gets good? It's like, it's just shit from multiple phases of play, and then in the end it's like somehow the ball ends up in the corner of the penalty area. Konsa can't stop the cross. Courtney Horse looks at Shane Long and thinks, I'll just let him go, and then Shane Long kind of bundles it in off his thigh, doesn't he?
I couldn't believe Courtney House's slack marking. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was just jogging. Just let the guy sprint through. I mean, I don't normally call out players on social media, you know, when there's somebody's made an error. But that was, I mean, I had to. And, you know, then people are saying pretty much what you just said. Somebody said, oh, fuck House. What about Konsa? He should have blocked that cross. And you're starting to see that there's multiple points of failure, really.
Well, it starts almost virtually on the halfway line, doesn't it? It's like, how on earth did the ball ended up going back? It's pathetic, is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, if you get relegated, if Aston Villa get relegated at the end of the season, you just put that up as Exhibit A for why. I mean, it's just atrocious.
It is. It's in the old days of Match of the Day, Alan Hansen would have been pulling his hair out at Villa.
Yeah, I miss Alan Hansen for moments like that.
A sloppy defending. Because that's exactly what it is. It's really, really sloppy.
It's like you don't give a shit. It's like really just bad attitude defending. I mean, the Courtney Horse thing. I mean, I used to play centre-back, especially in the early parts of my magnificent football career. And I would be embarrassed if I let a goal in like that and just let my man slip through. Shocker.
It's it gets worse the more you watch. I mean, I would recommend any listeners to just block it out your mind. Don't go on YouTube. Don't watch Match of the Day, and just don't think about it, because the more you watch it, you just think, fucking hell, what on earth are you doing in training all week?
Yeah, and that is a big thing, because I think Dean Smith say we're starting to look like we're a team that's just good in training.
Yeah, he said there's far too many training ground players. I mean, you could see he was really, really he was noticeably annoyed at half time. He was very angry at full time, and he had that look of a really broken man. And unfortunately, he had that kind of look about him that Lambert had towards the end. And you know, it's just the look of a man who's thinking, these fucking idiots are going to get me fired at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what pushed him to, you know, say that not just a few. He said a lot of players have played themselves out of the cup final.
Yeah,
I mean, I haven't looked back on this, so I'm going to put this one over to you after I give my initial opinion. I've only seen it, you know, as it happened. Was El Ghazi, when I watched the replay, and the guy barely touched him, because you know, you're thinking, oh, this is an elbow, that's why he's gone down like a, you know, lump of coal, sack of shit or sack of potatoes, whatever you want to call him. And it's suddenly you start thinking about Wesley playing dead, and I saw El Ghazi go down, and I thought, yeah, but he's hardly touched him. What's he doing? And then Mings and Grealish said, you know, come on, get on with it. And then I was surprised that he went off. I mean, what was your take on it?
I think it's, you know, the word innocuous at best would be describe it. I mean, considering their guy obviously went off clearly injured, didn't he? And he came back on with a headband and he'd been patched up. And you thought, well, is Algarzi just taking a knock to the head? Does he just not fancy it? I mean, he's been notorious for, you know, he likes playing when the hot dogs are sprouting, and he plays well when it's warm. But
he's a passenger, the metrosexual look as well. So he's probably more worried about his moisturizer and he's plucking his eyebrows than he is getting stuck in and trying to win a football game.
I mean, that moment for me, that summed up the game. Just a total lack of kind of fight and willingness to put their bodies on the line. And they just played like a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, and I think he might be on that list of who Smith was referring to.
I think so.
The guy who does my players' ratings mentioned he got poked in the eye. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't read anything about this because
I haven't seen multiple replays of it. And to be honest, I'm glad I haven't, but...
So if he got poked in the eye, then maybe you can understand it. But, you know, come on. If he's saying he got elbowed, that's bullshit. And you could have played on.
I think it's just, you know, our friend Mr. Rogers said he's probably one of the first footballers to ever go off with injured pride.
Yeah, I mean, you got Deontay Wilder complaining that his corner threw the towel in when he had no fucking chance. At least he was there wanting to die on his shield, so to speak. And it was obviously the right decision because all he had to do was look in the mirror. He was on his way out big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you got Algarzi just wimping out like that, it's embarrassing. And it's just says to supporters, this team hasn't got any fight for this, this survival battle.
Yeah, considering the club splashes across social media taglines like part of the pride and fight like lions, you think, you lot are a bunch of saps. And I remember that exact word being used in the Daily Mirror, maybe. I can't remember what game it was. And Villa were described as, they're a bunch of saps. They just have no... I use the word spineless cunts because I can, you know, I'm not a newspaper. But it's that
apparently
thing of, have a bit of fucking pride about what you're doing. You know, if you get battered by a better team, fair enough. That's Southampton are probably a better side than us. But in terms of, they didn't have to cut us open. I mean, the first goal is shambolic. It's like a shit house finish off his thigh. But it's like, at least make them ping one in from 30 yards or a 40 pass move or a sweeping break. But don't just like gift teams goals. And that's the thing. I've been saying this for weeks, that if we go down, it won't be because of lack of quality. It will be because we've just gifted games to teams. And teams will just laugh at us. They'll go, fucking hell, how bad were we? And you went down? Jesus.
Speaking about gifting goals, there is a scenario that happens when teams are desperate. They're trying to normally save the game and get an equaliser. So the goalkeeper goes up for the final corner or the final free kick. So this obviously happened against Southampton. So Reina goes up. Now, when you look back, when you've seen this happen in countless number of games, it's very, very rare. Even though you go, it's the ice hockey move, isn't it? Where you take off your goalkeeper to put on an extra player, essentially, to try to score.
Yeah.
So Reina goes up and you're thinking, here we go, last throw of the dice. And he's quite interestingly, he starts from the actual Southampton goalkeeper position, doesn't he? He stands in the middle of the goal facing outwards and then he kind of runs for it out as if he's in goal for them, which was, you know, kind of interesting. But anyway, my point is, you see this numerous of times and very, very rarely do you see the opposition take advantage of this because the ball always goes out for a throw in early or, you know, it breaks down, the keeper gets back. Only Villa would present a position where the actual team scores from this disadvantage. I mean, even in ice hockey, I've seen two ice hockey games in the last month live, and it's happened, and you think, oh, God, they're going to score. And no, they don't. They don't score when the goalkeeper's off because they have possession and, you know, they do it and then they get back. And to me, that just stank of what is wrong with this club. We don't get back fast enough or, you know, with intensity to not allow what everybody thinks is the risk of what could happen. Like, empty goal, you know, empty goal post.
Yeah, that's shambolic as well.
And when that happened, I just thought, this is fucking shambolic.
Yeah, because the ball gets cleared. Fair enough, they've got it clear, but it's still avoidable at this point. And then there's a 50-50 ball for Luiz on the touchline.
Yeah.
And you can see him running towards it and he just slows down. Their guy, it's just a lack of intent. He didn't want to get there first. It's like, you fucking idiot.
And
as soon as they get their foot on the ball, he backs off the guy. You think at that point, pull his shirt, take him down, foul him, take the card if you have to, be a bit smarter. But no, he lets the guy go. He lets him turn, which is criminal. Then he lets him release the pass. As soon as the ball goes, it's going to go in. Because Reina's kind of trotting back, but he's not going to be able to do a length of the field. You know, he's not like Haaland, who did it in close to record time. It was just...
You look at the game overall, we could have played badly and drew 0-0 there. And you'd have thought, well, we played shit there. We could have won. That game was there for the taking. Because both goals were avoidable. And this is why we're in the shit.
I mean, with all due respect to Southampton, they had better chances that they probably could have taken. So they were deserving winners. Let's not have it we won't make out that it sounds like all Villa were close to getting something. They were nowhere near getting anything out of that game.
Well, I wasn't inferring that in any shape or form, just for the record.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We've said it loads of times. Villa could have been marginally less shit in games and come out with it with results. We're talking Spurs, Arsenal, various other games. And these are the games where, you don't always deserve to win games, but there's certain ones where you think, if you can't win it, don't lose it. And that has been the Achilles heel of Villa. They can't. You look at the amount of draws we've had this season, it's minuscule.
Yeah, and that is the difference from playing bad and not losing.
Yeah, because if you're at the bottom and you can pick up a point when you're not playing at your best, it's still a point gained. It still accumulates over the season. Villa can't accumulate points. If we don't win, it's more likely we will lose. We won't shut a game down. And that's been Smith's career as a manager.
Yeah, and this is why the big alarm bells are ringing now for this season, because you look at our fixtures and it doesn't look like a walk in the park, but we haven't got that tenacity to get a draw when we've played badly, and we'll always give the game away. We'll put it on a silver fucking platter. This is the problem, and this is why I am concerned. Yeah. I mean, just talking, I mean, like things like Reina, who's normally his distribution is pretty good. I mean, it was down to 54%, and he was causing problems more than he was in terms of, he was giving the ball away at times were blatantly unnecessary.
Yeah, we just play ourselves into trouble all over the field, don't we?
I mean, what do you think about we transitioned into three at centre-back, and you thought that there was logic to that, because Mings, I don't think Cons is good enough to play alongside in a two. I don't think Horns is good enough to play alongside in a two.
No chance.
Engels, that was potential there. I mean, especially if, teams are just bombarding you with crosses and stuff. Just that the first game against Spurs just stood out, and the first few games actually, that was a partnership that looked like everybody was high-fiving, thinking, well, we've in Engels we've got a great companion with Mings there. That obviously, I think it was an injury, wasn't it? And then suddenly,
wasn't he ill as well?
Yeah, then suddenly he wasn't the same man. Smith went to the three because obviously we were leaking badly, and you thought, well, actually, this might be how those two in Konsa and Hawes graduating this team is to play a few games in a back three stroke five, because they're both on the natural side.
Yeah.
And at that time we were thinking, well, they're comfortable with the ball. But, whoa, it's they've turned... I mean, then you mitigate and you say, well, they're young players finding their way. Then you start to think, well, there's probably a reason why Courtney Hawes was on the bench for Wolves, and they were willing to give him away at a price let's not beat around the bush, wasn't that much.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Konsa, we've overpaid for him.
Brentford are just pissing themselves at Villa at the moment. They're thinking, thanks for the money, Scott Hogan. And, you know, I mean, I think Konsa's, you've bought potential. That's fine, but you can't have a team of guys who's all potential.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I said in our Mad Few group that you look at the recruitment that's been kind of reasonably scrutinised to a point, but my thing is that they've clearly used the Moneyball model. And the thing that Moneyball, if you've read the book or watched the film, is that it doesn't cover things that are like indefinables. And the reason why Villa are losing games of football at the moment are due to the indefinable things. It's not to do with like yards run, shots on target or anything like that. You're talking about things like there isn't a metric for courage, belief, bravery, mental toughness, that old Ferguson phrase of like bounce back ability. There's no metrics for these things. These are the things. It's in the Villa players' heads. Concentration. There's not a metric. There's not a stat that tells you about concentration.
Yeah.
It's like these are all the things that are kind of your indefinables, that's why we're where we are. You look at, you know, the top of the table, for example, Liverpool, Man City, their work rate, their concentration. It's like, you know, there's over the course of a season, there is a reason why teams are where they are in the league. Generally, it's for, you know, you deserve to be where you are.
Yeah, I mean, especially the Liverpool team. I mean, they're not there from being like the super skillful team that, you know, let's say Manchester City, you could say have blown teams away because of their football. Liverpool are there because of work rate and being methodical, but also being good.
Yeah, Liverpool are outrageously functional. Yeah, in that they can hit you in three or four different ways. City, you know what they're going to do. Stopping it's another thing. It's a bit like Barcelona. Liverpool, they can pass you off the field. They can chase you off the field. They can play long if they want to. They can be direct. They've got three willing runners. It's like they've got three or four.
But they'll always work harder than you. That's the thing.
Yeah, and they'll always get the ball back, and they've got pace and energy.
Yeah.
Villa just don't seem to have that kind of energy. You know, obviously, we are missing McGinn, but that's only one player. And it wasn't like we were winning three, four, five games on the bounce with McGinn.
No. Yeah, it's a big concern. I mean, Grealish had a bit of an off day, but he's probably getting to the point where he's thinking, well, for fuck's sake. I mean, there was one moment which summed up his frustration was when, we're not in desperation streak when we're 1-0 down away from home at any point of the game, really, in terms of there's no need to get desperate. And there was a chance, Horahan took a snapshot when he was, you know, he had players in front of him, Saints players in front of him. So he was going into a crowded abyss. And Grealish was free on the left. Horahan, instead of keeping his head, panicked a bit, took the shot, you know, rebounded off a player straight away. And he just saw Grealish beside himself in frustration. And you think, we haven't got the cool heads either at this moment in time. Because all he had to do is, you know, lay it off. And then Grealish has got yards of space and there's a chance for a legitimate chance for an equaliser.
Yeah, I think it's a mentality thing. I mean, in terms of Grealish, I think he's entitled to an off day every now and then. He's been so relatively consistent and carrying the team. I think that kind of game, when it's toxic on the field and in the stands and everything's going wrong, it's a bit like Wigan. You know, last season, you have these games. Unfortunately, we had Watford, and Smith's alluded to it finally, and you can see his patience has gone, because he's said, you know, you get away with maybe one of those a season. But he said, we're having far too many of these ones.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, when everybody has a bad day at the same time, especially the week before a cup final.
I mean, this when we went down.
I mean, we were gone by now, weren't we, virtually?
We had down. A team that pretty much gave us nothing. The only highlight of positive was like Rudi Gusted's headed goal in the first game of the season. And then you just, after that, you thought, oh, okay. And then it was like, yeah, shit, we're not offering anything. This season we've offered, as we mentioned on the last podcast on 99, you know, we against Spurs, we showed the full spectrum of what we're capable of, you know, the good, bad and the ugly. Against Southampton, we just showed the ugly. And this is the problem. We there is potential there, which makes it frustrating, because you're mitigating, you know, the situation of there's a massive overhaul of players. This is a young team. It's just come off the back of 3 years in the Championship as a club, as a whole.
Yeah.
So you just want them to survive, which, you know, we're 17th. We are technically surviving at the moment, but it's not what's happened so well. What's happened so far is the concern, because you can see it playing out in the next fixtures, and the next fixtures are getting harder and harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all on TV now. So it's going to be trial by television, as I've mentioned on the site. The reason why it's getting toxic in the stand is probably the concern of, like, this looks like it's a hopeless task. And, you know, this is the alarm bell we're ringing here. in a funny way, that cup final may be a saving grace in terms of it'll be a miracle to win it. I mean, some bookies are saying 20 to 1. But if you did win that game, and as we've said, there's reasons why...
Kickstarts your season.
Yeah, there's reasons why Manchester City might not turn up fully functional. They'll also look at Villa and go, yeah, let's just concentrate on Madrid. We'll beat these goons, no problem anyway. And if you do win that game, or even put in a gallant performance where, because we've got big games coming up. You know, we've got your Leicesters, your Liverpools, your Manchester Uniteds, your Wolves, your Chelseas. So if we can get some indication from the Manchester City game that we can compete and the players feel confident, yeah, hang on a minute, we beat Leicester in the semis, we put in a great show against Manchester City, you know, win or lose, maybe we can get something out of these and it will kind of rejuvenate their focus and their desire more than anything.
It's a big thing is belief. I've been saying it for weeks, months, but it's, yeah, the fans have to believe, but there's only so much the fans can do. At some point, the players have to believe. And I just think at the moment, it feels like they go on the pitch and they're almost starting the game 1-0 down.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to make a mistake. And I think they know they've got a mistake in them as well. And clearly the opposition do.
Forget about the league. Just focus on that day, hopefully in the ignorant belief that we've got a chance and hopefully we can do something on the day, at least have a great day out. If we get the result, then that could have a positive knock-on, hopefully. I mean, if we get actually hammered, then I don't think the game really affects us. It's just more of the same.
I think the lack of pressure on us plays in our favour, actually, at the moment. I think it's a very pleasant distraction. I mean, I look at the two Leicester semi-final games. I thought they were probably two of the best overall team performances of the season.
Yeah.
And you're kind of thinking, well, what do we need to take from that into the final and the rest of the season? Because they've clearly shown they can do it. And in patches, there'd been moments against so many good teams, haven't there? Again, you know, Spurs, Arsenal, Liverpool for 87, 88 minutes.
Yeah.
Various other teams. You can compete. And if you're Smith, you're thinking, come on, man, we're not good at the moment. Let's not beat around the bush. But we know we can get to those levels.
There's a spectrum of potential. And he said in the pre-match going into the Saints game, they had a sit down and they spoke specifically about cutting out silly errors and stupid mistakes. And if they do that, I mean, when we're talking about Hawes fucking marking, we're talking about Douglas Luiz actually not giving away a hospital ball like he did in that, you know, the Leicester game in the first round in the semi. And just, you know, elementary, it's just switching off. It's not concentrating for the full 90 minutes.
That's and, the frustration, you know, isn't
and
it?
And Engels, you know, Engels against Spurs, he just volleys that. You know, we get a point there. That would have been a massive point. Because Spurs, I mean, especially now with Son out, they're a team. I mean, they've been beaten twice since they've played us. They're a team that you could see Watford, West Ham, you know, getting something out of those games against Spurs. So we, you know, we go, oh, top six team, you know, we don't expect anything. That's not the attitude to have. You look at our fixture lists coming up now. I mean, you've got the double TV one straight after the cup final against Leicester and then Chelsea. And now every April game that has been announced, obviously Sheffield United has still got to be put into the fixture calendar, the one that would have been played this weekend. But, you know, when you've got like the Liverpool game, you've got Wolves, Manchester United, and then the Palace game, you can't sit there. I mean, you look at Leicester, Chelsea, you think nil point. You look at Man United, nil point. You look at Liverpool, nil point. Wolves, nil point. I mean, if that's how we think, we're fucked. We've got to get points out of those games. That's the reality of the situation.
I mean, fortunately, I think we can, but that's just my, you know, eternal optimism. I look at our fixtures and you just think, well, you get your points wherever you can. And as long as come the end of May, you're above that dotted line, it doesn't matter how you do it or how many points you've got. But ultimately, you're looking down that fixtures and going, fuck me, that Palace game is absolutely huge. You have to win that. That has to be one of your wins. I'm looking at going to St James's Park. You have to see that as an opportunity.
But as we're saying, you've got to look at Manchester United. You've got to look at get a draw at least.
Yeah, I'm thinking you probably need to. You're looking at, you need to take a scalp from one of Chelsea, Wolves or United. I think Arsenal at the end of the season, potentially by then, they'll have fuck all to play for. I think you could win that. Arsenal are very hit and miss away from home. I think if we had to go to the Emirates, I wouldn't fancy us. I'm glad we've got these teams at home, and April is going to be huge. I think as things stand, we've got 3 of 4 at home. You add Sheffield United to that, you're going to have 4 of 5 games at Villa Park. Now, they're difficult games, but if you were Dean Smith at the start of the season and you said, we'll give you 4 out of 5 games in April to have your own fate in your own hands on your own turf, you've got to be able to do that. And if you can't do it, the simple matter is you don't deserve to be in the league.
Yeah. I was saying to you before the show, I think in a previous podcast, we said, well, you know, you get to the end of the season and a lot of teams haven't got anything to play for. I think, unfortunately, there'll be a lot of those teams that we've just mentioned are still a European place is still undecided. So they will be at it. But sometimes the desire to survive is more than just to, you know, get a European place.
Well, it has to be. I mean, you're looking at sort of Wolves, for example. They're going to realistically, they're going to probably still be in the Europa League. You're going to be looking at things like fixture congestions and staying fresh. And, you know, as we said last year with Villa, that the huge thing this time last year was, I think, was it the same point we'd just drawn with Stoke? We said, fucking hell, Villa just need any kind of momentum they can get. It's exactly the same this year, but for other reasons. It's like we need desperately a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, if you look at Wolves, you look at Arsenal, we've obviously got to play Arsenal later on. They're the two teams with the highest amount of draws. 13 by Arsenal is the top, 12 is Wolves. Now, Villa don't get draws, but look at those two teams. They're giving away draws, basically. So you've got to get a draw at least off those two. If you can get a draw against Wolves and Arsenal, then that's a good day out for Villa in terms of points that we need.
Yeah, I mean, I think in reality, to stay up mathematically, you're probably going to need a minimum of 3 wins. It's probably going to be more like 4, and 4 wins and 2 draws, 3 draws, which is very difficult.
Let's look at the Rasmussen diagram, which we've mentioned a couple of times on the show. Our friend from Norway, there's two Christophers, there's probably three, I think, but Christopher number two, we'll call him, Rai Rasmussen, has done this diagram, which is a chart which charts Villa's prospects of actually staying up in terms of how many points they've got now and what they really need. In terms of historically in the Premier League, 42 points is you're safe. 100%. We are actually tracking, we're well below that at the moment. We are 5 points off that, what you would need at this stage to get 42 points. Now, there's a minimum required that historically has seen teams survive, and that is 36. That's the lowest anybody's survived on. The bad news is we're actually tracking underneath that. That is, at this stage, you'd be looking to have 26 points. So we're 1 point below that. So we're below any amount that's survived. So at the moment, we're heading face first into the dirt of the championship. If you're looking at an average, you're probably saying 38 points. And that is the estimated points that we would probably need to survive this season, because it probably won't be 40 this season. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are literally a couple of wins away from safety.
I think it's 36. I think the last 5 seasons, the average is 36.5 or something to stay up. I think 36 this year might keep you up. But then, of course, you know, when you've got 25 points, you're thinking, all right, how do we get to 36 points?
Well, you're 4 wins, really, from proper safety. I mean, you look at West Ham and Watford, they would need 4 wins to get to 36.
Yeah.
So 38, we are tracking, if we just say 38 as an estimate, as this Rasmussen diagram has put out, we are now 2 points behind that. So we'd need to be on 27. So if you look at the league now, you're looking at Brighton that is tracking as actually the only team that's potentially safe. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be 5 teams going down. So West Ham and Watford will have to pull a game out of the bag. But Watford have shown they're capable of winning games against decent teams as well. So I think they're a live wire still. West Ham, don't really know what's happening there. Bournemouth, I think they've got problems. And we've got to finish higher than Bournemouth. If we can get above Bournemouth, I think that's them and Norwich gone. I still think there's West Ham and Watford, I think they still might. They've got enough to suddenly, you know, they've got the caliber of players, shall we say, or in Watford, they've demonstrated they have the unity to fight. So, I mean, you were discussing that earlier on, before we started the show, that Bournemouth had probably the hardest fixture list.
Yeah, I look at, you know, Bournemouth have got very hard, you know, you look, any team down there is looking at their home games, and I know we're very similar in that. But they've got to entertain Chelsea as well. They've got to go to Liverpool, Wolves, Man United and Man City. Then they've got Tottenham and then they go to Everton as well. They've got a local derby against Southampton, big one. They've got a huge game against Newcastle and they have Palace coming up. In comparison, you look at teams where you think, well, have they got the opportunities to get points? I look at Watford and think they're the one who could put a shift in here. They entertain Leicester, who you never know they could get something. They've got Southampton at home, Burnley away. That's an opportunity. They've got Norwich at home. They've got Newcastle at home who don't travel well. They go to West Ham. Their last two games, though, they've got Man City at home, Arsenal away.
Right, well, that's good news. I mean, one good news is we play West Ham, but it's obviously at their ground as the last game of the season.
Yep. and a really tough one. I'm looking at a little bit up the table, and I see someone like a Newcastle. Now, they entertain the Villa. I mean, that's going to be a huge game. But then their last five, they go to Man City, Watford, which is tough. They've got Spurs. They go to Brighton, who will still be around them. And then they finish against Liverpool.
Yeah, I will put it this way. I can't see less. I think Newcastle are safe if they don't let Villa beat them. If Villa beat them, then I think that's pulled them in.
Yeah, you always look at the way Bruce's teams are playing, and this season so far, the stats that you would judge any team on in terms of shots on goal and all those things, they're bottom. But for some reason, they're managing to just nick results. And I always think with them, I look at someone like, say, Tottenham at home, they could nick a result somewhere.
Yeah,
wonder if they have they continue with their FA Cup run, if that could derail them a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think the upshot is, if you look at the table now, I think you're looking below them, because to get to like 38 points, they just need two wins and a draw, really. And you would say in the space of 11 games, two
they
wins and a draw
that.
Is terrible. Two wins and a draw out of 11 games is terrible, but that's all you need, I would say. So yeah, they should do that. I think realistically, looking at Brighton, Bournemouth, Villa, West Ham, Watford, and I think Old Norwich are you know, as good as gone.
Yeah, I agree.
So getting beat by Bournemouth, that was a knee in the bollocks, I think, big time there. But, you know, what is done is done. Thanks for Christopher for sending in the Rasmussen diagram or the Rasmussen meter. But just to confirm, we are currently well below the survival needed. And, back-to-back wins against Leicester and Chelsea, that would get us back on track, I would say.
If you're not wrong. I mean, let's be honest, how lucky have Villa been so far, that the run we've had in recent weeks, really since we got to Wembley, and how on earth are we not in the bottom three?
Yeah, I mean, if you tell me that we, away at Bournemouth, home against Spurs, away against Southampton, I would say, considering that we should be focused trying to stay out of relegation, I would imagine that minimum we would get from those three games would be 2 points.
Yeah, you'd have wanted a point a game, really. You'd have taken two defeats if you could win one or get three draws.
Yeah, so that sequence of games, I mean, especially after what we did to Watford in the last minute, where you think, well, this should kick us on, is not great, because it doesn't get easier. Every game, take it as it is, and you got to, if you can fight to get a draw, you get a draw.
Well, Dean Smith said, you know, we've got X number of cup finals, and Southampton was one of them, and the players made an absolute hash of it.
Yeah, that's another cliche. I hate it's a Lambert thing, isn't it? Like these, we've got 13 cup finals left, and it's like, yeah, bullshit. Because the players don't listen to it, evidently.
No.
Right, what else have we got to say? I think that's enough doom and gloom. Well, it's not doom and gloom. It's like that is...
It's the harsh reality, David.
Yeah, laying down the task in hand. And we have a week off where we can focus on the arch at Wembley and having a good time there before we know the reality of what is to come. So I think we have like a few days of escapism until the day. And then after that, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah, I said previously, though, I can't remember a cup final or a trip to Wembley with Villa where I've been this sort of not nervous. There are no nerves for this one whatsoever, yeah, you know, compared to playoff finals. It's kind of just like, oh, it's just a day out with Villa.
Exactly. And that's how you should approach it.
It's a bit of an adventure, but it's not like, you know, if we lose this one, you know, the repercussions are if we lost against Fulham or we lost against Derby.
Yeah.
Those were the more nervy ones, cup finals. You know, I've been to Wembley and seen us get spanked by Arsenal before. I know what it feels like to get torn to pieces at Wembley in a cup final, so we're not exactly venturing into the unknown.
But, I mean, with the FA Cup, there's that thing where a lot of villains of a certain age, and I'm including in that age bracket, just wants us to see the FA Cup because that's the final piece of the jigsaw, so that hurts a little bit more. This one, the old free hit phrase, I suppose, is relevant here. Anyway, let's call it a day on this. Please do make sure you subscribe to the show on Spotify and also Apple if you listen to it there, and of course on any other app that you listen to it on, so you get notifications of when new shows drop. We'll hopefully get one in before the Wembley final. Do buy a mug or a t-shirt if you can to support the show. And anything else, Mr. Bud?
Scatter cushions to come.
Oh yeah, there's the magic cushion. People have been asking, they want one of these cushions, so I might do a little limited release. And I will have the my old man said Patreon competition for the foresaid cushion up by the time the show airs. So good luck in that if you're a My Old Man Said patron. If you are not, sign up and be one. Right, Until Wembley, well, until the next show before Wembley, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.